Luke chapter number 18 and 19 tonight is where we're going to be. And I just want to say thank you for the hospitality and all the stuff in our room. Whoever it was that was in charge of that, it was amazing. And thank you very much for that and everything. And so I told Brother Ogden, I'm like, I need some jerky, like some stuff in my room, you know, to kind of, because if I sit around, I'll eat junk all day when I'm in my room, you know. And so I like to have some, but I'm going to tell you, she didn't help me that much, whoever it was. So I don't know where to thank you or be mad at you, but thank you very much for that. And then, of course, just all the fellowship and the time together. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being easy to preach to. We preach in a lot of different places. Brother Jeremy does, as well as myself, in different places. And I'm going to tell you, you're an easy group to preach to. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for being receptive. And so I just pray tonight that God will do a work in our hearts. Luke 18, verse number 25. The Bible says there, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, that seems kind of random compared to what we're going to read here in just a few minutes, but I just felt the need to read that verse tonight. So the Lord is giving a biblical principle here. He's just saying, hey, somebody that's well taken care of, it's very difficult for them to come to know Jesus, for them to believe on the Lord. And hey, if you've ever been knocking on doors, and I believe most of you in here probably have, hey, I can go into the slummiest areas of town and start knocking on doors, and they come, and they know they need something. They may not know that it's Jesus, but they know they need something. I mean, just look around. But you can go into the wealthiest of neighborhoods and knock on doors, and I'm going to tell you, they don't even want you on their porch. And yet you have the greatest message they've ever heard or maybe have never heard in their life, and they don't even want you there. And so the Bible goes on. Look down to verse number 35. "And it came to pass, that is, he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Boy, you think about those words that the blind man heard. As he was sitting there, standing there, as he was there on the wayside, there was no doctor undoubtedly who could ever help him. There was no physician, there was no person in his life that had any capability of doing anything for him. And as he is sitting there, he starts to hear the noise of a crowd come along, and he thinks, man, I wonder what's going on here. And so he asked a passerby, somebody who maybe was in the crowd, he says, sir, what is it that is going on the road? Why all this noise? Why all this commotion is going on? And they said, hey, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he thought, my, I better do something about this. This may be the only chance that I have. It may be the only opportunity that I have. No doctor can help me. No man can help me. No loved one can help me. But here's somebody that I heard of in another town did the same miracle that I need. And so he stood up and he cried aloud. The Bible says they tried to hush him down, and he cried the louder, and he said, hey, Jesus of Nazareth, I need you. Now let me just stop there for just a second. I believe there are no coincidences, right? And because I believe there are no coincidences, I do not believe that it was by accident, but I believe that it was by appointment that Jesus passed by. I love that song that says, man, a blind man was sitting there by the way, and Jesus passed by my way, the chorus says. He made me whole that day. But then the second verse says, and just like that blind man, I wandered along in the darkness of sin. I was always alone. Hey, but Jesus passed by my way. Well, I'm glad tonight to think that there are no coincidences, and Jesus had a divine appointment with the man before he got to Jericho. And the Bible says in verse number 40, Jesus stood. Hey, you know what? I love this. Okay, this ain't the message, but this is good. We got to stop here for a second. When he cried out, he stopped the Almighty God. You ever thought about that? Now, y'all didn't get the same feeling I got, I don't think, on that. But here he is, a blind man who was poor,
who had nothing to offer. He begged for everything that he had. In human eyes, he was absolutely 100% worthless. In fact, he was just simply a drag on society. But as he stood up and he cried aloud, the God of the universe stopped what he was doing to give attention to this man. Now, I just think that, hey, if God would do that for that blind man, hey, we still serve the same God. He's still alive. He's still doing the same thing. He's in the same business. That shows me this, that God came desirous to work. Amen. He passed by reason, I believe, of this blind man. The Bible says that he stood. And he commanded, man, to think about the Lord as he halted what he was doing on his journey. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And Jesus said unto him, verse 42, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. That's how it works, by the way. And that is how it worked the day you got saved. And you cried out to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. And to think that that's what the Lord did for me that day. Whenever I received Christ, I had to call unto him, as the Bible says. And he heard me and he answered me and he saved me. That's what the Lord does. But here's the thing I love about it. He didn't stop that day. He never quit. Wasn't a one-time act. The Bible says, and immediately he received his sight. And notice what he did. And followed him. What's that say? Glorifying God. You know, when God does a work in your life, He does it for you because He loves you. And He does it for Him because He wants the glory. That's why He works. He loves us tonight. But I'll tell you, we miss that reciprocal love, if you will. It says He followed after Him. He was glorifying and praising God. And notice what happened. When all the people, when they saw it, there in verse 43, gave praise unto God. When there is triumph through a trial, and we come out the other side praising God, it's amazing how it influences and helps other people. It is amazing. I could give you story after story of different people, but also the one that I know best would be the one of just my dad. Many of you probably know him or have heard him. Maybe you've heard his testimony or haven't heard his testimony. In 95, he was coaching my basketball game, and he fell face first on the floor, and we didn't know what happened. He passed out, and they came with an ambulance and took him to the hospital, and as he got to the hospital, they thought things were fine. They gave him some medication, got him back home, and they didn't treat him correctly for what he had. And so when they did, he relapsed and he went back in the hospital a second time. And that time, when he woke up, he didn't know who anybody was. Didn't know what his name was. Didn't know he was married. Didn't know how to read or write. He didn't have any of that. And I can stand here as a testimony today and say this. John Bishop, or the Lord's ministry through John Bishop, far exceeded after that trial compared to what it was before that trial. And I can tell you today, there's a whole lot more people that are praising God today through their trials than there were prior to that trial. And I'll just tell you, God used it. And God used him. And it was for His good, but for God's glory. And I'll tell you, it's not always the times whenever we receive sight or something, a miracle happens in our lives. Sometimes there's a trial that comes through. And you know what? We don't have any choice on what comes into our lives, but we do have a choice in how we deal with it. Amen. And so the Bible says that they all saw it and they praised God. Chapter number 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Man, I'm preaching a long time on the introduction. We're going to get to the sermon. It's going to be quick tonight. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, that's another one I love right there. I love it that whenever an old sinner cried out on the highway, hey, Jesus stood and he stopped and he helped him. I love it that whenever there was a sinner that climbed up in a tree, he said, get out here, I'm going to your house. Did you know that Jesus spent the majority of his time with sinners? And every time he's hung out with the Pharisees, I'm going to tell you, the sparks were flying. So Jesus, he comes here, and I'm reading the story not too long ago. And I just thought this. I thought, why was Jesus going through Jericho? What was Jesus doing? Jesus, here was just a thought that hit me today. Jesus was going to break up a funeral. You ever thought about that? Maybe you're all more spiritual than I am and know the Bible better, but as I'm thinking about it, I thought, Jesus, he was going to break up a funeral. That's where he was headed. And then the next item on the list was his triumphant entry. And Jesus was on a journey to Bethany. That's where he was going. Here's the thought. Here's one of them. And that is this. Jesus does more work on the way to his purpose than we could ever accomplish in 10 lifetimes. To me, it's just a beautiful thought. Is this, Jesus wasn't even going to Jericho. He's just passing by. He's just on a journey, and the disciples, they were just with him. And to think that Jesus, just in his journey on where he was going, he changed two lives miraculously. And I mean, they were forever changed. One of them said, I'm going to repay and do everything. Undo everything that I've done. The other one says, I've got a life now that I've never had before. Jesus miraculously changed those lives as he was just passing by. And here is the reason why he did that miraculous thing as he was just passing by, was because he was asked to. He didn't have to. Because he was asked to. Both those miracles were amazing and they affected individuals. Don't miss this. Did you see what the people were? They were mad that he went to Zacchaeus' house. They were upset about that. Now, I know this is just a Bible message tonight, okay? So you're going to have to forgive me, but I think it'll be helpful at the end. Jesus, he was asked to do something, and he did it, and the rest of the people in the town didn't like it. That sums up where we are at in the United States of America. And listen to me. I believe this with all my heart. As long as there is a remnant that is left, as long as there are a group of believers that are left, I believe that God can bring revival to this country. I believe that. But some of us, all we do is look around for the whole world to get changed while Jesus is passing by and we don't do anything to stop him. He's there. He was available to everybody else, just like he was a blind man and just like he was Zacchaeus. He was there. The difference was the pursuit was not there. I love the thing that those two men had in common, and that is this. They didn't just try for a little bit and give up. One, the world tried to shut him up. And the other, the world tried to push him out. And the one hollered out all the more louder. And the other one had to find a little bit of ingenuity and figure out where the closest tree was to where Jesus was coming by so that he could get up on that tree so that he could see Jesus, so that Jesus could see him. But both of them ultimately ended up with the same result. And that's not saying there's many avenues to heaven or many avenues to Jesus. As Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one. And the only way is through Jesus Christ. But either way, there's different backgrounds that come with different people, but you all have to come through the same Savior. And by George, they did it. And there was two old boys that left out of there that were revived. Their spirit was made alive. And it wasn't based on who was sitting by them or in front of them or who lived in their home. It was based simply on them and Jesus Christ as he was passing by. Jesus had a destination, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Hey, he had a purpose in where he was going. And listen, I don't know where the next big revival is going to take place. I don't know what next church is going to get turned upside down. I don't know what next family is going to have a major revival take place. But I know this, tonight he's passing by. I know this, tonight he's in our presence. I know this, tonight he wants to work. Even though he may have a journey somewhere else, I thank God tonight he's available and he's ready and he's willing and he's able to help me. That's what he does. And that's who he is. But don't miss this. Not only did I see the purpose of Jesus was not Jericho, but I see the problem with most Christians is they're too slow. Did you notice that Jesus said to Zacchaeus? He said, hey, Zacchaeus. He didn't say it like the song says, okay? It's a good song. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, you come down for I'm going to your house today. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. And then you know what the next verse says? I'm not looking at it, so you have to look yourself. But it says this, and Zacchaeus made haste. Well, that's a good Bible truth. That's a good one. Zacchaeus, hurry up, buddy. I tell that to my kids all the time. Would you hurry up? Would you hurry up? Get your shoes on. Would you hurry up? And when I say hurry up, the speed does not change. Every one of you that's raised children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Hurry up. Yes, sir. Okay, when are you going to start this, you know? Like, I know you heard me and you comprehended it and you said, yes, sir, but I'm still waiting on the action. And you're like, well, you're killing me. And I think the Lord looks at his children. He says, you better hurry up. Better hurry up. We'll not get into it. Okay, we will just a little bit. But the next story says, there was a nobleman who came to found him a country. Find him a country. And he left some talents with some people. And he said, I will return. And guess what? He did. I believe the correlation that we have here in these stories is this. Is he says, you better hurry down that tree and get yourself over here to me. If you really need my help and want my help, you better get your hind end out of that tree and get it right over here with me. And we need you over here because I'm coming back. This might be the only chance you have. Might be the only shot that you have. Hey, listen, I believe it. Hey, as much as from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, all the way in my heart and all the way in my mind, hey, Jesus is coming again. And I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that unless I die of some strange disease or some disease that they say is COVID, hey, I don't know, unless I die from something like that, I believe that I will be alive when Jesus returns. There's no prophecy, I believe, that needs to take place. Anything else for the Lord to come back. He's tearing his way, he's coming right now, and he's saying to you and to I, he's saying, hey, you better get down out of the tree. You better get off the roadside. You better get over here to me. You better get serious about it because, hey, I'm passing by. I'm coming by your way. I want to work. I've got a bigger purpose, and that's going to be my glorious return when I come. But right now, I'm in your midst. Where two or three are gathered together, there will I be also. Hey, I'm here, and I'm here to help. I'm here, and I'm here to say, hey, for a little while before I return. The And so he said, hurry up. Zacchaeus said, yep, I'm coming. Son, that little short man scurried down that tree. He made a beeline to the Savior. And I often wonder, everybody in that crowd, I think, wanted Jesus to do something special for him or else they wouldn't follow him. It was just the ones that asked. There's a lot of people that get bent out of shape because the Lord's doing a work in somebody else's life. Not in my family. Why's God not doing it? Well, maybe you just didn't ask. Jesus, he didn't come through Jericho because he was coming to Jericho. He came to Jericho because he's going to Bethany. Here's the next thought, and that is this. We'll wrap her up. We might even be done early tonight. That is this. You remember Mary and Martha? That's who he was going for. It broke Jesus' heart when Lazarus died. He was going to see Mary and Martha. Well, he was going to see Lazarus too. You remember they were like, Jesus, he already stinks. It's too late. Like, I know you've raised people from the dead, but they were just, this is literally what they were saying when they said he said, I know that you've raised somebody from the dead, but those people were the people that they were fresh dead. He's not fresh dead anymore. And they're upset about it. I mean, it's true. What the Bible says. And Jesus got there, and you remember the whole story, and they met him, and called, I mean, it just, this whole thing. And the whole time Jesus wasn't there, they were sitting there wondering, what is Jesus doing? And you know what? The amazing truth was this, that I just saw, and maybe it's not amazing to anybody else, but it's amazing to me. Was it Job? Behold, I go forward, and he is not there. Backward, and I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he did work, and I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand where I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here is Jesus. He finally gets there too late. Too late. And they're looking at him like, Jesus, if you'd have just come sooner. And here's the thought tonight. If he'd have just come sooner, there would be no Zacchaeus. You come down, for I'm going to your house today. Had he just come sooner, there would be no blind man standing on the way by the road. And as he heard the noise, he cried aloud, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. There would have been no Zacchaeus. There would have been no blind man that was there. There would have been no miracles that would have been recorded. But because Jesus came in his time, and Jesus came with his purpose, and Jesus came with his desire to work, not only did it work out for Mary and Martha and for Lazarus, but it also worked out for a whole lot of people along the way. We're sitting here tonight and we're saying, Jesus, this ain't working how I planned. I can't believe. Lord, why don't you just do something? I prayed that prayer to the Lord before. Lord, why don't you just do something about this? And it was as genuine as can be. But I don't know if there was a Zacchaeus that needed help. I didn't know if there was a blind man that needed help. You see, I don't think about Zacchaeus when I'm in trouble. I don't think about the blind man whenever I'm having a hard time. You know what I think about? Because I love this guy. And when I'm in trouble, I don't care about anybody else. That's just being real, okay? I can stand up here and say, you know, when I'm in trouble, the first thing I do is think about people. You know, lie. Yeah, people, person. Hey, maybe one of my close relatives, maybe they're lucky that day. But the person I think most about is this guy right here. See, the Lord, man, the Bible says He works in mysterious ways. I hate preaching messages like this. Because usually what happens is I have to live it down the road. And I don't like living it. But maybe out of my trial might be somebody, or my problem might be somebody, just like Zacchaeus. That's why we ought to glory in our tribulations. That's why we ought to just take some time and just say, Lord, I'm just glad You're working. I know that You are, and I may not see it, but I'm just glad that You're working. And you know, here's what I take comfort in is this. Is that Mary, Martha, Lazarus, number one concern. That's where He was going and what He was doing. I love that song. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. You know what I love tonight is this, is that Luke Bishop tonight is Jesus' number one concern. And I can't explain it, and I don't understand it, but you tonight as well are Jesus' number one concern. He wants to work for you. He wants to work through you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to break, and you think about in Jericho, just in Jericho alone, I mean, that city was cursed because of what had happened when they crossed the Jordan River. It was cursed, and literally He came into a city and did a work in somewhere that was cursed. You understand tonight that He went into a place that they weren't real welcoming to the Lord. You saw that they got mad to Him, but He did a work there when somebody asked Him to do it. You think about this. Hey, Jesus overcame what He had just said the chapter before where He said, hey, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle or a camel through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet it said right there of Zacchaeus, He said he was there and he was a rich man. And He said, come on down, I'm going to your house, and I'm going to save you. What does that tell me this? Is that God is bigger than what should happen, and God is bigger than what would happen or what can happen, and God is greater than any curse that's ever been on anybody. God is greater than any problem that everybody's in faith. Hey, God is better and bigger and greater, and He's able, and He wants to, and He's willing. Here's your deal. You just got to ask. Just got to ask. Flying to Alaska a few years ago to preach. Flight wasn't full. I looked on my phone to see if there was any empty seats still left on that flight. I walked up to the desk with a real big smile. I said, ma'am. I said, this is about 4.5 hour flight. I said, I don't fly with y'all all the time. But I said, I noticed there were still a few first class seats available. She said, yes, there is. I said, you can tell me no, it's not going to hurt my feelings. But I'd also sure love to have one of them. She looked at me and she said, son, all you got to do is ask. I sit up there with all the rich folks. And I looked at those commoners as they was walking through there just like they all looked at me whenever I was going through there last time, you know. Son, I was riding in first class. I didn't pay a dime for it. All I did was ask. You know, that sums up so much Christianity. I'm not saying you're not going to have trials. The But some of us, we just have not because we ask not. Tonight, I'll just say this as we close out. The best service of revival ought to be Sunday morning. Not this last one, this one coming. It ought to change something. I think the reason we lack revival in our hearts and lives, the reason we lack the Lord working, He's here, He's present, He's prevalent, His presence is in this place. We just don't ask. It's amazing how a child, when they really want something, will wear you out. I mean, you just want to, sometimes just, would you leave me alone? Remember that lady that came to Jesus on behalf of her son, I think it was, and Jesus said, I'm going to answer this because she's not ever leaving me alone. Remember that? Probably should have wrote that in my notes if I had any. He said, I got to answer this prayer because this lady, she's not going to quit. I think the reason that we are lacking real revival in our hearts and lives is because the Lord's standing up there saying, they don't even ask. And if they do, it's because somebody else did. And if they do, it's because the preacher told them to. Or if they do, because it was a special meeting that was set aside so that we'd be at church on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And we don't normally go to church on Monday and Tuesday. So, Lord, we must really be serious. And the Lord's looking down there saying, you know, I know your heart and mind. You're not fooling me. Why? Because we like, you know, it's amazing. I find time to do what I want to do every single time. You know that? My wife says I'm the hardest person to shop for. Why? Because if I get something that I really want, guess what? I find a way. I beg, borrow, steal. Not always steal, but just maybe sometimes if I really want it. But I find a way, some way or another, to find what I want. My wife's like, you always buy everything you want. Yeah, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. Because I wanted it. And I believe that the lack of revival is because there's a lack of asking. And the reason there's a lack of asking is because there's a lack of care. And I'm not angry at anybody tonight. I can promise you that. But you're looking at a guy that needs revived. But I can also be honest with you tonight and say, you know, as the Lord spoke to me, I pray that He speak to you. Just say to all of us, why don't you ask me? Do you really care? Are we just going through the motions here? We can leave like a bunch of those people did in Jericho, upset because God didn't do anything in their life. Or we can leave out of here with Jesus like Zacchaeus did. And it can cause a whole lot of people like that blind man to praise the Lord for what He's done for me. Remember the wild man at Gadara? He said, go home to thy friends. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done. What do you need God to do tonight? I can't answer that question for you. But I can give you the answer to that question. Why don't you ask Him?